Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to You Land Alive. I'm glad that you're here with me today, and it's my pleasure to share with you in the Word and gain a glimpse into the heart of God together. Well, as some of us are aware, the snow is gone. Yay! I'm so excited about the snow being gone. We're getting a little more sunshine here at the end of March, and, you know, I was out a little bit this morning, and the wind was biting, but the sun is there. That sun always gives us a little bit of energy, right? So I'm excited about that this morning. I pray that wherever you are on the globe, that the weather is agreeing with your disposition as well. But all that being said, once again, I'm thrilled that we have the opportunity to come together and share in the Word of Christ and to hear His heart and get some tools for victory. Amen? That's always a blessing for us. So today we want to encourage you by the classical work of our dear brother in Christ, Charles H. Spurgeon. He was an influential author and Christian who penned many great sermons and devotionals. Even though it was like well over 100 years ago, his work continues to be a light that continues to fire our faith even on today. So I wanted to dig a little bit more into some of the encouraging words that we were able to glean from him over the years. We will be encouraged today from the excerpt dated March 24th morning. Now, for those of you who share with me in our last episode, the Charles A. Spurgeon that we did, the way he has this particular devotional set up is that each day is not a page number, but each day is a day of the month, and it's either for the morning or the evening. And so that kind of gives you a little bit of background on why I'm speaking the way I'm speaking about his book. So what we'll be looking at today, for those of you who actually have the devotional, is March 24 morning, okay? In this particular devotion, Jesus is in the throes of suffering and headed to the cross. He's begun to experience the deep, debilitating fear and sorrow that comes with his call to die for all mankind. In this particular excerpt, we find that he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, but finds himself interrupted a few times where he's walking back and forth, checking on the disciples to see if they are with him in prayer. What a blow it must have been to find his disciples sleeping at the very time where he was gripped by a sense of loneliness, abandonment, and extremely great fear. Today's show is about combating fears, Reflections with Charles Spurgeon. And we're going to deal with fears today, not only from the reflections that we find in Charles Spurgeon's devotional, but we're going to dig a little bit into my book, Life-Changing Prevailing Prayer, where we deal with some of these particular issues and how we have to address them when they come about. Amen? So let's take a look at the Charles Spurgeon morning devotional, and we want to look at how that reads. But before we do that, do you mind if we pray? I'd like to pray. Amen. Father, we're thankful that your heart is so big and it's so wide that in spite of where we find ourselves in our experiences, your love is so complete and so vast and so large, so deep, so wide, Lord God, that it cannot be measured. And in this, Lord God, you've strengthened us to be able to receive no matter where we are in our experience, no matter how high or how low, your grace and your love is deep enough and complete enough to envelop us. And so, Lord, we ask that your love envelop everyone under the sound of my voice, no matter the day or the time of day. Lord, we thank you that you're willing to do that. And we invite you by your Spirit to enlighten us so that we receive what thus saith the Lord for us individually. We give you honor and glory for that. in Jesus' perfect name. Amen. So let's take a look at the Charles Spurgeon morning devotion. And it reads, Heard is the title. He was heard because of his godly fear. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. There is nothing worse than being utterly forsaken. See, said Satan to Jesus, you haven't a friend anywhere. Your father doesn't love you. He will not send an angel from his courts to help you. All heaven is alienated from you. You are alone. Even the close friends of your sweet counsel are worth nothing. Son of Mary, look at your brother James and your beloved disciple John and your bold apostle Peter. Cowards. They sleep while you suffer. You have no friends in heaven or earth. All hell is against you. I have stirred my infernal den. I have sent messages throughout all regions summoning every prince of darkness to attack you. We will spare no arrows. We will use all our infernal might to overwhelm you. And what can you do? You are alone. It is possible that this was the temptation of Jesus because the appearance of an angel to strengthen him removed that fear. He was heard because of his godly fear. He was not alone. Heaven was with him. But before this may be the reason he came to, this may be the reason he came to his disciples three times, according to Matthew chapter 26, 43. As Hart put it, backwards and forwards thrice he ran, as if he sought some help from man. Jesus would see if it was really true that all had forsaken him. He found them asleep, according to Matthew chapter 26, verse 43. Perhaps he took some minor comfort from the thought that they were sleeping not from disloyalty, but from sorrow. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. At any rate, he was heard because of his godly fear. Jesus was heard in his deepest anguish. Rejoice, you too will be heard. And this is the devotion for March 24 morning. Bless God for that. Could it have been that Jesus was to suffer the anguish of fear and abandonment? I believe so. Scripture tells us that he was wounded for our transgression and that the chastisement, all of the punishment, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And that can be found in Matthew chapter 53, verse 5. I'll read it for you and share with you what it says. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. It is no secret that Christ suffered and died on our behalf, and yes, even for our fears. We all have fears of some sort, fear of failing, fear of being alone, fears of cancer and fear of heart attacks, fear of abandonment, the fear of trusting others, including God, fear of all kinds of animals, fear of the dark, and the list goes on. We're especially fearful when it comes to finances, right? We're fearful. But Christ, our God, died to conquer our fears. He himself had to experience this debilitating and heart-wrenching, life-threatening fear in order to identify with me and you. This is a picture that is so vividly being planted for us today. Bless God. In my book, Life-Changing Prevailing Prayer, in the chapter that I call The Real World War, One, Heavenly Conflict, I deal a bit with this spiritual perspective of the blows of fear and the like. It gives us the urgent spiritual perspective needed so that we can begin to see our problems and our trials from a kingdom of God mindset. We're going to look at that a little bit today. You see, family of God, Christ had to suffer, as Charles Spurgeon showed us, this fear, because he had to be tested and tried in every point of life just as we are. Scripture makes that clear to us. So what kind of God would he have been if he himself had not felt the grip and the bondage of fear? I dare say that he was delivered from that fear for us. He had to experience it. In my book, Life-Changing Prevailing Prayer, the chapter, The Real World War I, Heavenly Conflict, it reads, Daily, we feel the effects of the war with the enraged dragon, who fights God's offspring. His goal? To destroy us in the short time that he has, and to keep us from experiencing the life in Christ we are promised, who believed. This is a fight to the spiritual death, for the very souls of men. Part of our problem remains that since we have not seen this war with our naked eyes, we tend to believe it's not a real threat, or even that it does not exist. This is the farthest thing from the truth. The struggles you experience as you try to do right is part of the battle that enrages for the mankind in eternity. We tend to believe, and I'm turning the page, that since there is no physical bloodshed and no wound that we can see, that this is not a problem. But the wounds and the bloodshed are so very real in the spirit realm. People are dying spiritually daily and ending up in a godless eternity. These are the worst wounds any of us could ever endure. Body of Christ, we must labor not to die spiritually. We must labor not to waste life and its blessings so that our time is worthy of God's own pleasure. This is a tough battle. When you look around you, you can see signs of the casualties. There are people so stressed that they walk around like zombies in distress of soul. Depression, suicide, lethargy, drug addictions, carelessness, ineffectiveness, acceptance of religiosity over the truth because of all the pain associated with growth in Christ, the inability to achieve, and the list goes on. All signs that the enemy of our soul has been successful in some of these battles that we have fought. In the face of these battles where there were defeats, we have not lost the war. We are still able to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. We must begin to take the war seriously and engage with the battle, and engage with the weapons God has provided in the way that God has instructed. This is where we get off track most, if not all the time. We don't fight the battle by the God-given directions. We do it our way. We need to fight according to God's instructions. When we do, no matter how hard or intense the battle, we are ensured victory. This seems like so few words on the matter, but they are powerful and vital to the victory of the believer when in prevailing prayer. How do we wage war? Quite simply, the most effective and wise way to wage war is to primarily submit to God. The scripture says to submit to God and resist evil. The enemy will then flee from you. Many believe that war is to call down and out certain demon territories, yet there are many pitfalls within this belief that can cause us to fall into over-focus on the enemy rather than God. Spending lots of time focusing on Satan and his territory will minimize God in your eyes and ultimately our lives. This is vitally important to you as a believer. We must maximize God in our lives and his instructions rather than Satan and his territory. And I'll stop there. That was pages 28 and 29 of my book, Life-Changing Prevailing Prayer, in the chapter, The Real World, War One, Heavenly Conflict. And I wanted to just kind of steal that particular excerpt because I wanted to point out that although we are dealing with these fears in our lives, you know, it's still a war that can be won. This is part of that walk in Christ where we have to not only suffer, but we have to apply the tactics and strategies that God has put in place through his word so that we can experience victory. Amen? We have to apply God's word. Bless the Lord Almighty. Body of Christ, though our fears are legitimate and very real, we are to take up the armor and fight the good fight of faith by the word of God, as the Spirit of God empowers us. Yes, and situations are very real. I acknowledge that. I understand that. They are actually facts. But the wonderful thing about being a believer in Christ Jesus is that his truth supersedes the facts that we experience from day to day. Let me explain. It may be a fact that I am afraid at times, but the truth is that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. Amen? It may be an absolute fact that I feel bad in my body, but the truth is that by his stripes I am healed. It may be a fact that my relationships, my money, and friends may seem few, But the fact is that I am loved with the love of Christ. You see, family, when we are faced with the fears of life, we are not to let them continue to wash over us and implant themselves so deeply into our psyche that we are debilitated and even ineffective in our lives. And you know, we can become debilitated by our fears. And this is where we become what we call double-minded from a Christian standpoint, where we can barely make a decision because we're just so bound by the fear. Amen? But we are to take up the weapons of prayer, reading and studying the Word of God, fellowship, fasting where necessary, meditation daily, ruminating on the Word of God and His promises, and many other weapons as we saw Jesus doing. Seek the face of God. We are to apply the words of truth that supersede the fearful facts until we see victory in the area where we feel defeated. I deal with this particular point very deeply in my book, and I'd love for you to be able to glean those particular lessons. Again, the book is Life-Changing Prevailing Prayer, and you can find it on any ebook outlet. Amazon has it, Nookbook has it. You go out there, you'll find it. Amen. But this lesson is pivotal for the body of Christ. I think we have missed it at large, and we have just tried to kind of skirt through the issues of life, you know, just kind of wait until the negative emotions leave us. But I'll tell you what, Satan's goal is to keep you in bondage, to destroy you. And he's not going to let up. Like we heard in Charles Spurgeon's excerpt, he says, I'm going to send every demonic force in hell at you. There will be no mercy. There will be no letting up until you are destroyed. This is what the excerpt says about Christ. How much the more you and me? Because we are little Christ in the earth. So Satan is not playing a game. This is war for him. He has stepped up with every weapon. And so what will we do in response as the body of Christ? Will we also step up with every weapon that God has given us in the spirit of truth and holiness? This is the call of the believer. These are prayer strategies that God has called us to enact and exact in the earth so that we can bring the kingdom of God into the kingdom of the earth. Bless the Lord Almighty. If you see yourself in today's show, pray and talk to the Lord about it. Begin to apply the word of God to your fears. Let the truth of God supersede the fear that the enemy of your soul has planted. You see, those fears are not just happenstance. Those things that you're experiencing are not just there because of what mom and dad did or because of the mistakes you made in the past or because of that instance that may have occurred at work or with friends or family. Those fears are strategic. Those questions that we have that the enemy has hit us with are part of his plan of destruction against you. So now that you're aware of how the enemy of your soul is operating for your destruction, what are you going to do about it? That is the new question. What are we going to do now that we are aware that this is just not life's happenstances? These are actual tactics of the enemy. Fear is not of God. And we have to be effective in combating the fears according to God's instructions. You know, me being a professional counselor, I deal with fear a lot, right? And there are some canned answers that we can give, you know, when it comes down to these particular issues. But I'll tell you what, in my heart of hearts, and as I do my continual research and study, I find that the answer always comes back to the root cause and the root instruction that God gives us in his word. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And fear is completely not of God. Fear is evil. Now, I'm not talking about reverential fear, you know, where we're talking about reverence and holiness. That's a different kind of fear. I'm talking about that fear that debilitates us, that fear that is negative, that causes us not to be able to move forward in our lives and keeps us from experiencing that holistic life that God has called us to. And so I have learned throughout my years not to lean on just mainstream psychology, but to use Christian psychology in that we want to bring people back to the truth of the matter, not just the facts. We talked about the facts earlier, but bringing them back to the truth of what is really happening and dealing with the root of the issue. so we get to the root of the issue and find where the fear was planted and begin to uproot it. And as we're uprooting it, it becomes much more vitally important that after we remove the source of fear, we put in the truth, that love of God. Amen? So this is the reason why I come back to this, because we have allowed fear to really hinder us from becoming all that God has called us to be. There's some of us, God has called us to certain types of jobs. He's called us to certain venues. Some of us have even been called into politics, believe it or not. And we have missed these things out of fears, you know, afraid of school, afraid of all the things that might be required of us. But I tell you what, when your heart is to please God, you are willing to step out on faith. And that's what I'm asking you to do today. I know this has been an interesting time that we've had together, but I'm asking you to do just that. Step out on faith, amen, so that God can minister to you and through you, and that everything that you have faced would not be in vain. You know, the scripture says in Revelations, I believe it's chapter 12, it says, "For they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." Body of Christ, I implore you, I even beg of you, let whatever you're facing today be a testimony. Dig in. Uproot the fears. Amen. Combat those facts with the truth of God and replace that fear and that root of bitterness or whatever it is that the enemy has tried his best since your childhood to plant in you with the truth of God's word and stand on it. As often as the enemy will attack you, go back and stand on that same word again. Quote it. Speak it out loud. I'm telling you what, I've been doing this for a long time, and if I've got to talk to myself and encourage myself with the word of God, that's exactly what I will do. Anybody who really knows me knows that I will do that. I'm encouraging you to do the same because, body of Christ, as people who are believers and who love the Lord, we're living not just to have a nice life on this side. We're living to live again. Amen? And one day we're looking forward to meeting our Savior face to face in all of his glory, according to the wonderful Dottie Rambo song that was sung so many years ago by so many. We want to see him again. And I don't know about the next guy, but I believe us who are believers want to hear from our Father, "Well done, my good and my faithful servant." Bless God. So I encourage you today. I know I may have stepped on a couple of toes, but I tell you what, mine have been stepped on, and they continue to be stepped on, and I welcome it to the glory of God so that I can become all he's called me to be in the earth. I want you to do the same. I want you to be everything God called you to be from the foundations of the world. Everything that the enemy stole up to this moment, everything he's stolen, the scripture says to me that he will restore it to you, whatever the locust has eaten. It's not a gift or a prize just for me, body of Christ. It's for everybody who believes. So for all you've been through and all you feel like you have missed as a result of all of the tragedy you've experienced, all the troubles you've been through, you know, the imprisonment, you know, health ailments, failed marriages, all these things that we have seen, I dare you to believe God that he will take what you've gone through and use it to his glory. I dare you to believe God that, you know, Lord, I lost 15 years with my child, but I want it restored. I dare you to believe God that even though my marriage is on its last leg and I can't stand the sight of that man or woman, you can turn it around. I dare you to believe God. And I continue to believe him. I encourage you to do the same. Let God combat your fears with his word. Let God show you and lead you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And as you do, believers in Christ Jesus, you will never be the same. You will be on that narrow path that God called us to in our walk with him. Some people will fall off of your life. They will fall out and you'll be wondering what happened to those relationships. You know, don't fret over that. It's going to happen because of the maturing. When we mature, certain relationships won't be able to come with us. Doesn't make them evil. Well, some might be, but it doesn't make them all evil. It just means that our season here is up. God is calling me to deeper places. He's calling me to some places that might be a little tougher, and they can't handle it yet. And the same thing I encourage you, this was not on the agenda, but I encourage you, sometimes the spouse might not be able to come along at the same pace as you. But you don't throw the baby out with the bath water. Be patient with your spouse. trust God will bring them where they need to be. You continue in faith. Don't leave them behind. Amen. Incorporate them in your prayer time and be there with them. Let the Holy Spirit lead you by the word and the instruction of the word of God and as to how to conduct what God has told you to do in your life along with the family. Do not abandon your family members because God is first a family God. There are two categories we can look at when it comes to our experience and what God values. He values most his relationship with you and your relationship with others. And so if God is calling us to something, he's not going to call us to walk away from our husband and our wife. He's not going to call us to abandon our children and let somebody else raise them because of quote-unquote ministry. Keep that in mind. God cares about our relationship with him and our relationship with others. Okay? So keep all of those things in mind. I hadn't planned on going in a particular direction this morning, but I wanted to encourage you and give you some meat this morning that you can really mull over and apply to your life. Combat your fears today, family, and let the word of God live richly in you so that you can be all that he's called you to be. If any of this has ministered to you today, feel free to reach out to me. Bless God, you know I love to pray with you. I love to hear testimonies. I love to know where God is bringing you in your life. So give us a call. You know the radio program's phone number is usually on the website, but I want to give you my office phone number where you can catch me during the week. Our number at the office is 484-626-5024. Feel free to give us a call, and if you miss myself or my secretary, it's okay. Leave a message. We'll be glad to hear your message, and the moment I get a moment, I'll give you a call back if need be. And we will pray, and in the interim, I'll be praying for you. And I pray that you guys are praying for me, amen? We always need encouragement. Bless the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Lord God, that you've led them to this particular program at this particular time on this particular date. Lord, all things work together for good for them that love you and are called according to your purposes. And so, Father, I pray you will minister to them in a special way and that they might hear the voice of God unashamed and unequivocally. And I pray that the Spirit of God will touch them right where they are and deliver them out of fear. I rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. And I speak even now that no weapon formed against them will prosper. And I cast out the spirit of fear, and I ask that the spirit of God's love, power, and sound mind would replace those fears and empower them, Father God, to move forward in faith, not wavering. Move by your spirit, Father God, over their families and all the circumstances that are on their hearts and minds at this very moment, Lord, that are causing them, Lord God, to be hesitant. And I pray, Lord God, for a healing, Lord God, over the emotions and a healing, Father God, over all the scars of life that have up to this moment been so prevalent. I thank you for it, and I give you honor and glory for them in Jesus' perfect name. Amen and amen. Well, body, we're out of time for the day, and it was good being with you today. It always is. I love talking with you. If you like prayer, feel free to reach out to our office. We're typically closed on Saturday, but leave us a message, and we will pray for you, and we will be praying for you, and we'll reach out to you as soon as we can, and we'll get back into the office. So thank you for joining me today on Yolanda Live. May your day be blessed and your spirit man renewed. God bless. Amen.